Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. The Reverend Peter Ill is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother, Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is an odd reading to read from Genesis 4 on a day when you have an installation, not just of a director of QNED and mentor in the colloquy program, but as a mother who has two sons, it's a particularly strange reading. But it does bring, not only for Ruth, who's being installed today, but for each and every one of us, the question, what do you bring to God? Is it enough? Can what you bring please God? Now, we're all good Lutherans here, so of course we know the answer. Whatever we bring to God is as filthy rags, and we certainly cannot please Him, and that is why we need the blood of Jesus. We all know that, right? Yet, still, when what we do isn't good enough, and when we think of God disapproving of what we think of as good things, our faces fall, and we become angry. What God said to Cain is just as true for you. Indeed, sin is crouching at your door. Yes, even here in this idyllic office building with a lake and crosses all over and a big sign that says that the church is here. Even here, perhaps especially here, the sin is crouching at your door. Don't believe me? Go back to your cubicle or to your office and see how long until you feel like you're not good enough, when you're confronted with your anger, when you judge your coworkers, when you think that your supervisor's expectations of you are too high, when you think that God's expectations of you are too high. This place is not a refuge from sin and sinfulness. And to be clear, neither is your title, whatever title that might be. Pastor, deaconess, church worker, servant of the church. It doesn't matter if you are the director of colloquy or an administrative assistant, or even if you work in the office of the president, or take any other title that you happen to have here. This building doesn't protect you from sin. Your title and your office don't protect you from sin. If you began here or are beginning here thinking that this is a sin-free zone, you've learned better. And if you haven't, you probably will soon. And for those of you who might be tempted to say, I never did think that way, that's probably true, but have you acted like it's a sin-free zone? When Cain didn't master his sin, and when the blood of his brother ran out on the ground in the field and cried out to God, and God confronted him, he despaired. When the curse of God fell upon Cain, he pleaded that this punishment was more than he could bear. And when you fall into sin, be it in your cubicle or your office, in your home, in your car, or anywhere else that it happens, and God confronts you with your sin, you despair, and you are right to despair of your sin. You hear echoing in your head, the wages of sin is death. And while you were sinners, you were enemies of God. And you therefore must be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And those words all testify against you. You probably haven't spilled too much physical blood of others, but you have opened wounds with careless and perhaps even sometimes carefully intentioned words and actions. You haven't always told the truth in love. You have been afflicted with anger and hatred and insults and lusts and covetousness. Your sin and your sinfulness cuts you off from God, and that sin that crouches at your door desires to have you and to consume you. And that is too much to bear. And when you cry out that it is too much to bear, that's why God has given you one that he has called your brother. This is no Cain, or no Abel, or not even a Seth. Indeed, you have a brother, and his blood was shed for you, not in a field, but at the foot of the cross of Calvary. His blood was shed, crying out to God on your behalf, so that you would have a clean conscience and the forgiveness of sins. Your brother knows that you aren't good enough. Your brother knows that the burden of your sin and your sinfulness is too much for you to bear, and so your brother has done something about it. Your brother knows that sin has consumed you, and so he died, not as a victim of murder, but as the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world, who takes away the sin of yours. Your brother has put his mark on you. We don't know exactly what the mark of Cain is, but we do know exactly what the mark of our holy Lord Jesus is, as he has marked you in the waters of baptism with his cross on your forehead and on your heart. And every time you get to trace that cross, as you hear God's name that has been placed upon you, you don't wear the mark of Cain in your despair, but instead you wear the mark of Jesus and his cross. Because it is a reminder that your brother Jesus died on that cross and rose again to show that your sin is consumed and mastered, not by you, but by him. As you live as God's holy and righteous people, as you serve Him in all of the callings that He has given you in this building and outside this building, you do so living in the name and under the cross of your holy Lord, your brother, Jesus Christ, who has united Himself and His everlasting love with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the Reverend Joel and Clarion Fritchie, who serve the Lord in the Dominican Republic. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.